This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. All along the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you, Matt McNeil. Hello, everybody. Oh, I've got some news stations here to cuddle with. Hi. First of all, of course, hello to our friends down in Madison, Double Radio 92.7, Columbus, WTTN 1580 AM, and Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Of course, the hometown crew here at AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota and Minneapolis, St. Paul. And hello to Wausau, Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, and locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM and 97.5 FM. In Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, hello! If you haven't figured out, I'm not going to be like your programming you've probably been listening to. I'm going to be different. And we'll find lots of reasons for you to dislike me. Yo, damn, this is just the beginning. Actually, the hoot is this. I'm here for 2 days, really. And then I had a long scheduled vacation. I'm taking that vacation. So you'll hear me for a few days, and I'll be off for a week plus, and then I'll be back. And then you'll really despise me at that point. So nice to be with you. I hope things are going well for you today. A little bit about me, just really quick, because a lot of people already know this. Minneapolis, St. Paul, veteran of the U.S. Army, married, three kids, live in the suburbs. I'm a pretty big progressive. I consider myself a traditional middle of the road Democrat, an Al Gore Democrat. I vote DFL because I'll tell you what, and Democrat, I vote Democrat simply because I can't trust the Republicans for anything. You can't. I mean, let me give you a great example of it. Let me give you a great example. Did you notice how before the compromise deal last week with Manchin decided, hey, well, that's right, I'm a Democrat, and passed that bill on health, on climate change and health care and stuff? Funny story. Republicans would constantly post about, look at those Democrats. They can't get anything done. And then they got that done. They're like, why are the Republicans letting the Democrats get anything done? Yeah, that's a real winning strategy for America. Nothing gets done. Republicans. So, plus, you guys sent military troops into a combat zone under false pretenses, so screw you. So that's just kind of the way I am. That is the way I am. As a veteran, you don't do that. That's when I decided to vote Democrat from there on out, and I've been happy ever since. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I do have a guest coming up here. Now, I generally, if you've listened to the show for a long time, I do a thing called Democrat of the Day. And most of the Democratic races I'll talk about, especially the localized races, I'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour up here in just MSP. But if I do have a statewide race, Wisconsin governor, Minnesota governor, if I've got a Minnesota Senate, Wisconsin Senate race, or if I have any of the House races, I will generally try to get them on to give them, you know, give you an idea of what's going on there, and just, you know, for no other reason to remind you to call everyone in that district and tell everyone you know there to make sure they go out and vote. All right. Coming up here a little bit later on, we got an interesting little quirk in Minnesota because of the sad passing of Representative Jim Hagedorn, the Republican representative from Minnesota won. There's a special election because when it happened, they managed to be able to get a special election in. The special election is primary day. So there is, on the Republican side at least, not only is there going to be a special election, but there's a primary for the general election coming up here in November. The DFL, the Democrats in Minnesota, don't have that problem. They've got a great candidate in Jeff Ettinger. We'll talk with him coming up here at about 3:33 this afternoon. It's our Democrat of the Day from the Minnesota 1 U.S. House race. We'll talk to him a little bit later on. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Patrick, how are you today, my friend? Things going well?
Yeah, that's a nice Monday, and then it's going to heat up tomorrow here in the Twin Cities.
Just delicious. It's sweating season. Ooh, smell those juices and spices. God. Ugh. Ugh.
11 herbs and spices.
Oh, God. Hey, I smell the a bucket's gone bad around here somewhere. Only thing I'm going to say about the Twins, because the San Diego trip. Ugh. Would you trade Correa if you got a good closer?
I think it kind of defeats the purpose of signing him.
Yes, so. It does. It does, but...
The problem is time's running out, and Correa's not the only one who's gone to the front office and said, hey, get us some pitching. They have about 24 more hours to get anything done, and so far, really nothing has happened.
I believe. Are you closing tonight for the Twins, or am I doing it? I brought my glove with me.
No, it is the Detroit Tigers, so I think you and I could handle it if we're called on.
Oh, we have hope to be crushed yet here in Minnesota. We'll talk about that later. Enough of that. That's enough. Enough of the sports. Good to have you with us, Patrick. And give him a call, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. A fascinating case here in Minnesota, which brings up a point about the idea of allowing religious freedom to override a job choice. If I was a truck driver and I went out there and said, I'm sorry, I can't follow the speed limit. My religion says I need to floor it every time. Jesus tells me to go fast. Praise Jesus. If I said that, would anyone say, well, we clearly can't give him a speeding ticket because, you know, Yeah. Jesus says for him to barrel down the highway. No, of course, we'd look at him and say, well, maybe if you can't not speed, maybe you shouldn't be driving. Maybe that shouldn't be the career choice for you. When we had that county clerk out in Kentucky who didn't want to give out a gay marriage license, well, that was the gig. You took that job. And fine, you don't want to do that. Then here's what happens. And your employer, by the way, you don't want to do that and your employer is fine with that. Then it's a responsibility of the employer to first tell the person who's the zealot to say, you keep your personal political, your personal religious beliefs to yourself. You don't preach that from the counter of the office. And then on the other side, you say, and we have someone standing by whenever you're here to fill out something that you don't want to give. Fine. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, excuse me a second, I'm going to pass you off to my coworker here. That's the end of it. Things are done. The problem here is that zealots have a tendency of, one, wanting to, let me tell you about why my religion is better. And then second of all, fine, the business tells the person you can have that belief. Then it's on the business to have someone there that can actually fulfill the job request, the job requirements after the point. Makes sense, right? Yeah. If you don't want to do that, well, then don't. Be whatever it is you're going to want to be. I mean, if there's going to be some serious disagreement with what you're comfortable doing, well, then you need to stop and not do that job. I think it's that clear. Turning our attention to northern Minnesota, in a case believed to be the first of its kind in the nation, the Aiken County jury this week will decide whether the human rights of a rural Minnesota woman were violated when her local pharmacist refused to fill a prescription for an emergency contraception. Andrea Anderson, the mother of five from McGregor, Minnesota, sought a morning after pill after a condom broke during sex. Her pharmacist, citing his beliefs, refused to fill the prescription. She sued under the Minnesota Human Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination based on sex, including issues related to pregnancy and childbirth. So, you know, basically in Minnesota, we have these things that you have to do it. And once again, you're a pharmacist. You are going to have to prescribe drugs. There might be some drugs that you dislike and you do not want to prescribe them. Well, then fine. Then you probably don't, if you're the only pharmacist there, then you probably don't want to be a pharmacist because you're not actually fulfilling your job role. And in Minnesota, at least, there is a law that says, no, you've got to follow through with your job. And once again, the company can say, the pharmacist can say, you know what? Or the pharmacy company can say, you know what? It's fine. One, keep your religious beliefs to yourself. It's not your job to proselytize from the checkout counter. And two, you have to make sure someone is there that can fulfill a prescription that you don't want to fill in. Okay, fine. No one's the wiser. His religious integrity is kept sacred, and the person gets the product they need, and there's no problem. Problem solved. See? The problem is these guys want to come on out there and tell you, let me tell you about my religion. On January 2019, Anderson got a prescription for Ella, an emergency contraceptive. Now, according to the report filed by the court by an expert witness, Ella is not an abortion pill, but works by delaying or preventing ovulation during the menstrual cycle in which it's taken. It is more effective than when taken sooner after intercourse. All right. George Badeau, I think it is, B-A-D-E-A-U-X, a pharmacist for nearly 40 years and the manager of the thrifty white McGregor, reminder, emphasis on white, told Anderson that he couldn't fill a prescription because of his beliefs, according to court documents. He said another pharmacist scheduled to work the next day could fill it, but that it predicated a snowstorm might prevent the other pharmacist from getting to work. Badeau offered to send the prescription to a pharmacy in Brainerd, 50 miles away. At this point, according to the deposition, Anderson became angry and ended the phone call saying, I'm going to do something about this. After being denied her prescription by Bordeaux at a thrifty white, Anderson sought to have it filled at a CVS pharmacy in Aiken, Minnesota, according to court documents. A CVS pharmacy technician said Anderson's prescription couldn't be filled there and falsely told Anderson that she couldn't get it filled in Brainerd either. Anderson's lawsuit originally included CVS as a defendant, but the parties reached a settlement, which leads me to believe that they found the truth to be in her story. Anderson eventually got her prescription filled at a Walgreens pharmacy in Brainerd, making the round trip of more than 100 miles in wintry conditions that have resulted in at least one serious vehicle accident in the area. According to court filings, Anderson later called the owner of the Thrifty White Pharmacy and complained. The owner, Matt Hutera, then called Badeau and was hot about the situation, Badeau testified, telling them he should have filled the prescription. Badeau has declined to dispense contraceptive drugs three other times in his career, he testified, believing that the drugs would cause an abortion. In court documents, Badeau said the objections in dispensing Ella was because he couldn't possibly prevent a fertilization of an egg. Well, okay, that's a pharmacist making your healthcare decisions for you. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. Come on back. More on this. And once again, the responsibility of the individual. You got a problem, then don't take that job per se. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Matt McNeil Show here on your Monday, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Once again, this is, where is the responsibility of the individual taking a job where you know you're going to have to do something that your personal religion disagrees with? You know, where is the responsibility there for the individual? Because in this case, in Minnesota here, you have a pharmacist who refused to give out medication. Now, once again, one of the things that happens in you know, you hear it from, you know, kind of the racist people out there, when a Muslim person gets a job at a grocery store or a department store or a large chain store, and part of their job is they say, well, I don't want to necessarily work the cash register because it is against my religion. I don't want to handle certain products. Fine. Most of those businesses, retailers will say, no problem. We'll put you in the floral area, or we'll put you over in clothes. We'll put you someplace where that's never going to be a problem, and problem solved. All right. And that's the case. The person's not sitting in that department going, the only reason I'm working back here is because I won't touch that evil product. No, no one's doing that. They've got their religious beliefs. They keep them to themselves. They work in that area and they're done. I don't have any problem when a manager says, oh, okay, you have a problem with your religion. Okay, fine. One, it's not your job to preach to people that come into the store to buy pharmaceutical things. It's not. I understand the whole talking about water is a river and all these good things, but you know what? Don't push the Metamucil. You don't have to do that. It's it. Sorry. Hey, by the way, I'm a former Catholic. I'm still very Christian. I've been going to a lovely Lutheran church. My family does enjoy. So just FYI, I am religious too. And ooh, I love counterpointing people that like to bring up the Bible. It is fun. Anyway, so, you know, you just tell the person, he's like, fine, your religious beliefs are your religious beliefs. Just don't preach them to everyone else and just say, oh, that's the product you want? Well, I'll tell you what, I can't help you right now, but hey, Steve's on duty. Steve, can you help them out? I got to go take care of something. Thank you. And no one's the wiser. No one cares. Your religious beliefs are perfectly intact. The store has someone on to take care of the customer. Problem solved. And the problem comes in is that if you hire someone who's going to do this, then it's your responsibility to basically say to them, I'm sorry, if you're not going to do this, I have to have someone on staff with you at that point. Or you have to look and say, well, I'm sorry, this is the job. If you can't do this job and I don't have anyone else to place in your position, I can't afford to have a second pharmacist on every time you're working. If you can't do this, then maybe for your own religious, sanity, then you might want to find a different job. Badeau has declined to disperse contraceptive drugs 3 times in his career. He said his objection to dispensing Ella would be because it would possibly prevent a fertilized egg from implanting in the wall of the uterus. Doing so, he said, would prevent the new DNA, the new life, from being able to continue to live and grow. It's similar to removing all care from a newborn child by throwing it out the back door or the woods. No, it's not. No, it's not. Once again, these people and their floating scale of what life is. Chocolate and peanut butter, well, they're fine with it. But when the second that they get together, that Reese's peanut butter cup is divine. But here, what he's actually saying is, well, the peanut butter is divine. The chocolate, come on. That's no one has to care about that. The peanut butter, though, that's it. Don't look at the chocolate, even though you need the chocolate. Never mind. See, they do this thing all the time. According to scientific testimony in the case, emergency contraceptives such as Ella and Plan B are not the same as the so-called abortion pill, which actually is a combination of 2 medications that do end a pregnancy by causing a woman's body to empty her uterus. An important legal distinction in this case is in the filing under the state's Human Rights Act. In a pretrial order, Aiken County District Judge David Hermending ruled that Badeau cannot raise federal constitutional issues such as freedom of religion at the trial. The issue for the jury is not defendant's constitutional rights, the judge wrote. It's whether he deliberately misled, obfuscated, or blocked Mrs. Anderson's path to obtaining Ella. Badeau will be allowed to explain his religious beliefs to the jury, the judge said, but not in such a manner as to confuse the jury into thinking that his religious freedom contest. Jury selection is scheduled to start today in this case. And by the way, and that's the interesting side of it. I mean, did you stop someone? Did you use your religious beliefs to force a decision on someone else? And this judge, I got to give him credit, is really cutting this to the line because, once again, the case here is under the state's laws on this, which, going back to that once again, the Minnesota Human Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination based on sex, including issues related to pregnancy and childbirth. You can't – if it's a product that's for sale, you have to disperse it. And like I said, there's an easy way around this. Don't preach from your counter. That's not your job. I'm not hiring you to be the preacher man at the pulpit. I'm hiring you to fill prescriptions. And then if you can't do one, I'll get John to take care of the rest of it. Just that simple. Let's get Mark. Mark from the SAC is kind enough to join us today. Mark, welcome on in. Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, it amazes me. In some cases, some of those things are available over the counter. They tend to make them over the counter, like Plan B to be over the counter, just over the counter. You don't need to go to the pharmacist to get it. You just go and pick it off the shelf. That no prescription needed. But what also gets me is some of these same people that oppose, these birth control are also opposed. They're opposed to any kind of regulation on the contaminants we dump into our environment that affect the unborn there. I mean, they don't seem to care about the stuff that gets dumped in the environment may cause birth defects, but then they say, nope, we can't have family planning.
Hey, Mark, how many people have died in Europe because of excessive heat due to climate change this summer alone?
Good Lord.
Exactly.
A lot.
Yeah,
and
thank you very much, Mark. Your point, because Mark brings up the good path there. You guys like to say, oh, we're for the sanctity of life. No, you're not. Please. Oh, sweet Lord, no. You are for. Your definition of life is a live or dead fetus within a woman's womb, a woman that you will not give any medical treatment for, no medical care for. You will not give any medical care or pay for that to the fetus. And then the second that that baby exits the womb, then it is non-life for you. You don't care. You don't want to feed them. You don't want to clothe them. You don't want to give them shelter. You don't. And trust me, we got 35 dead and flooding out in Kentucky. That's kind of climate change, people. That's because of climate change. And it consistently is getting worse and worse and worse. No, this isn't rocket science. This isn't rocket science. You can't look at me and say you're pro-life, but then scream about how giddy you are to give the death penalty to someone. Ooh, well, but that person has to die. No. You guys don't even know your own damn story at this point. Everything you do is just wrapped in a political narrative. It's not wrapped in any rational thought process. It isn't. And once again, the easy solution here is either A, don't take the job, then your religious freedoms will never be violated, or B, the manager says, don't talk about religion at the counter. We'll have someone standing by to fill those prescriptions that you don't want to do. And done. What you can't do is you can't do it halfway if you're going to do this sort of thing. Jeff Ettinger, the Democratic candidate for Minnesota 1, when we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting live on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 98.9 FM and 1230 AM in Wausau. Locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, and of course in Minneapolis, St. Paul on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show on your Monday. We'll have Democrats on the day. And as a matter of fact, Democratic candidates in Wisconsin for the Senate races, for the governor's race, for the House races over there in Minnesota, same thing. I'll have you on as we get closer to that general election, but we got an election that's actually coming up here on August 9th. It's a special election down in Minnesota 1 to fill the seat of the late Jim Hagedorn, and Jeff Ettinger is kind enough to join us right now. Served as the CEO of Minnesota's Hormel Foods, created thousands of good-paying jobs, expanded profit sharing down there. He leads the Hormel Foundation, and the DFL in Minnesota is lucky to have him. He's running for Congress to be the DFL holder of that seat in Minnesota 1. He's kind enough to take some time today to talk about his campaign. Jeff, welcome back. Thank you much for the time.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt, and thanks so much for informing your viewers about our August 9th date. It is primary day in general in the state, but a lot of primary elections are not contested. But literally, this special election, one of us is going to end up going to Washington and serving out that term starting in August. So we're really trying to impress that upon folks. And it's also complicated in that it's both a primary and a general. So you got to vote on both sides of the ballot. You flip the ballot over and you'll see it there twice.
And it is so important that you get out and vote. I mean, I think we've learned our lesson. You got to get out and vote every election, including the special elections. This is in the Minnesota 1st District on the southern side of the state. That's Tuesday, August 9th. We'll talk more about that. You have been, we talked with you before when the primary for this race was going on. You've been traveling around one. Let's talk about some of your experiences you've seen as you've been going across the district.
Yeah, we really have been everywhere. We've been out west to Laverne and to Worthington and to New Ulm, and today we're in Winona, Rochester, you name it. So, and really, folks, I think, are concerned about inflation, and rightly so. It's squeezing everybody, and I think there's a number of things that can be done about it, including adding more competition in the area, such as Amy Klobuchar's antitrust bill, making more things locally, especially in southern Minnesota, so that we don't have some of those supply chain backups. And also fostering competition through having more smaller meat, poultry, egg, and milk processors.
Oh, I like that idea a lot because, I mean, that's one of the things we saw with the pandemic. There's a lot of problems when you have such a handful of those facilities taking care of the vast majority of the product.
I mean, we saw a really kind of striking and awful example of it in the infant formula space, where
yes,
four companies have 95% of the market. And so then when one of them had a plant closed down, it just caused tremendous hardship in the marketplace in terms of feeding our young children.
Is this all part? I mean, I saw that you have a 10-point plan to reduce costs. Are these parts of that 10-point plan to reduce costs?
Absolutely. Another thing I could point out that seems like maybe has resurrected itself on the federal level is the ability to negotiate drug prices by Medicare.
Yep.
You know, that was That was part of the proposal that seemed to be coming out of Washington late last week and into early this week. And that certainly would be, I think, a great thing to advance, as well as some of the climate provisions in that bill.
You and I talked before, and we've talked about the farmers. You get the family farms that are out there. The margins are horrific. You know, one thing that you had brought up before that I thought was a great idea, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about this because we need leadership on this to put this forward here in the state of Minnesota and nationally, is making sure we give the family farmer help when it comes to health care and child care costs, because quite literally, I mean, these costs of just raising a family are driving people out of the agricultural sector, and we can't have that. We have to have a strong ag sector. But once again, it's difficult when someone has to have a full-time job off the farm just so they can get health care for the farmer.
And that thriving ag sector, to me, needs to be both larger scale operators and our smaller family farms. And it's the latter, I think, that what you're pointing out, that really have the challenges when it comes to health care and daycare.
Yeah.
I favor a public option on health care, and I think that, you know, and those kind of pools, I think, can be helpful. Daycare is certainly a challenging area throughout the southern Minnesota, a challenging issue throughout the southern Minnesota area. You know, it's both cost, it's capacity, it's can you pay enough for what the providers deserve, and just ultimately, is it viable in the long run?
Well, and you have experience with the Hormel, and there's a lot of companies that are great leaders on this, that they can see, oh, well, I got employees here. We have to have, you know, that either have options or you know, kind of cut a deal with a local provider, or in some cases, even open up their own daycare provider there. There are things we can do with either tax incentives across the board that might be able to help ease that child care crisis in rural Minnesota.
And that, I think, that idea of trying to tackle it from multiple areas is just right. I mean, it's so, for example, in our Austin community, the Hormel Foundation, which I'm currently chairing, we were able to help donate toward enhancing child care capacity. But it can be a company, it can be a nonprofit, it can be the local city, or it can be at the state or federal level.
You've got Farm Fest coming up tomorrow there. It's obviously it's a lot of issues. It is interesting. We have international politics that are affecting this. I was reading the story in the Star Trib this weekend about, you know, the impact of the Ukrainian-Russian war right now on Minnesota farmers, because obviously the farming sector, it no longer is just a regional thing. And what happens across the globe is affecting farmers here in Minnesota.
No, absolutely. I mean, honestly, our opponents in this election try to blame everything related to inflation and cost on the policies at the federal level, and that's played a very minor role in the scheme of things when you look at the fact that inflation's happening everywhere in the world, and so there definitely are things we can be doing to address that on a broad basis, including some of the ones I mentioned, and a couple others would be in the ethanol area, that we should be allowing for sale of E15 blended gas year-round, and also building and deploying more ethanol storage and dispensing equipment.
Well, and this is why you have to have the good leadership in D.C. is because it's one thing to have the local element there, but then you need the weapon in D.C. like yourself to get you into D.C. so you can implement these plans, so that you have that. Because isn't that kind of what some of the problem we've had here is we don't have the streamlined system that we need to have. Having you in D.C. will help get that system more streamlined to where product and you know, quality of life issues are addressed more for that farmer.
I really think, Matt, I can bring my extensive experience as a business leader and as a community leader to be a change agent in Washington. My opponent has been more of a politician and a lobbyist, and really kind of just votes the party line, at least when he was in the legislature. That was his M.O. And to me, our district deserves to have everyone represented. Mr. Hagedorn, when he was in it, basically treated it as a winner-take-all. My approach and what I've been talking to voters about is to be much less partisan and much more balanced in my approach.
Joining us right now is the DFL Democratic candidate for the Minnesota 1 special election, which is this election is a week from tomorrow in the Minnesota 1st District. Jeff Ettinger is kind enough to join us today to talk about his campaign. You bring up the what's going on the other side of the aisle. They are in a really funny situation there, because on one side, they had a primary for the special election. You had one winner there, but then one of the other winner, one of the guys that lost that special election, who's an extreme far right guy, he basically said, I'm not done. So he's actually running in the primary that's the same day. So it's a battle to the extremities for the Republican Party right now on who can be the most extreme far right candidate for them on this race.
Oh, absolutely. And they're apparently both showing up to Farm Fresh. So even though I'm not on the ballot against Mr. Munson, I mean, there he is. So it's, I'm just kind of running my race. Ultimately, they both describe themselves as conservative fighters, and I honestly think that's the wrong approach on both issues. And yes, we have conservatives in the district, but that's not a majority of the district, and everyone deserves representation. And we need less fighting going on in Congress and not more.
Well, and your point there is the exact one, which is there are too many Republicans right now where the only people that matter to them are a handful of people that are their most loyal followers, and everyone else does not matter. Unless it's an election season, they can tell them that they matter. But the reality is their policies, everything they put forward, it doesn't matter to the community. And this is one of the reasons we're having problems. We're having divisiveness in this country. We have to have politicians that are going to look at everyone, even the people that don't vote for you, and say, well, I'm your representative. I'm here to help.
Oh, absolutely. And there are, I mean, that's been my experience as a community leader, is that you can get things done on a local basis, and often you really don't even know what the political background is of the folks who are in the room with you working hard on those issues.
Jeff, I want to bring up, obviously, a major story, especially it's going to be one that affects the federal government and state government here for a long time, and that was the decision by the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. You know, I think that there a lot of people have a lot of differing, varying opinions on this. But the reality is the Republican Party is the ones out there saying, I don't care if the mom is going to die. I don't care if a 10-year-old is getting raped, that they don't want any exceptions. And I think that this is, you know, that is extremism that is not only, you know, just toxic, but it also jeopardizes the health and safety of human beings just because of their own personal ideology.
No, absolutely. The no exception approach is, it's really hard to fathom and hard to defend at all. Clearly, you are endangering women. You are endangering their safety. And it's also an economic issue. If we're really going to just throw it to the states, and if you happen to be in a state that has banned it and now you have to travel a long distance, it's kind of effectively blocking you. But honestly, I think the issue is beyond just the exceptions. The significant majority of our district, of Minnesota overall, and of the country, the opinion is that we should not be making criminals out of women or their doctors for their private health decisions. And so ultimately, folks who are voting, who are encouraged and wanted Roe v. Wade to be overturned, they've sort of turned loose chaos on this issue, and I don't think they've thought through the repercussions of it.
And the Republicans have been very clear, even though Minnesota itself has that Gomez ruling, which basically even further enshrines the right of women's health and they make their own choices in the state constitution, they have said that no matter who it is, federal level or on the state level, their goal is to basically get rid of all of this ability, the right to choose for a woman her own health care in the state of Minnesota, that is their goal.
The goal is to have the government make the decision.
Yeah. You know, and we should mention, too, for especially the listeners in Wisconsin, Minnesota won. That's Rochester. That's the Mayo Clinic down there. And, you know, if anything, I still, once again, the Republicans, they make me scratch my head. If when anything, we just came through 2 years realizing the greatness that is, it is our healthcare system. Nurses, doctors, everyone that works in the healthcare system, they're angels for what they had to go through during the pandemic here. And yet here we are, we still have people who have zero medical experience feeling like they can make not only medical choices for women on their own birth control and life choices there, but across the board that they went after the Mayo Clinic for the Mayo Clinic saying, well, we don't want necessarily people with COVID infecting the rest of the patients. And the Republicans were, how dare you? Like, it is a little bit, they really have an interesting platform, don't they?
It's just, I mean, it is amazing. If you think about, if you're a patient for a Mayo procedure any time before COVID, of course you would want to have every precaution taken to make sure you're not being exposed to something extra while you're already in a vulnerable position. So how they think COVID should be treated differently, I just don't understand. But I certainly place my faith in the leadership at Mayo and the wonderful team that works there.
And you got some great cities down there. I'm a little envious. It's a great time of year down there. Are you doing a lot of the weekend festivals across the district?
Oh, you bet we are. We've been to parades in Laverne and New Ulm, Rochester. We were just in Houston the other day. We went up to Winona. So, and of course, our hometown, Austin, Blooming Prairie. So, yes, it's a great time of year to get out and see folks and really enjoy that.
I do also want to make one other quick little an observation about this, is that this special election is under the old Minnesota 1 district border. The race that comes up in November, that is under the new redistricted lines that came out for the census. So you really are, it doesn't change too much for you, but there is a little thing here with this race. After you win on the 9th, sir, after you win on the 9th, then you have to go on out there and address your campaign a little bit for the new district.
That's correct. I mean, it has been an added complication. So, for example, LeSueur is in the district right now for the special election, but will not be in November. And we add areas such as Red Wing and Goodhue and that region of the country. So, yeah, definitely a challenge. But and either way, honestly, it's a doubleheader. I mean, we're both going to be on the ballot, looks like, for obviously August 9th, but also in November. And so, ultimately, the goal is to represent this district in the long run.
Jeff Ettinger for Congress. It's Ettinger for Congress is your webpage, right, sir?
That's correct. Thank you. EttingerForCongress.com.
EttingerForCongress.com. Make a donation. Volunteer. We got basically 8 days down there, people. We can win this seat. I know Jeff is a top-notch candidate. EttingerForCongress.com. Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Always a pleasure, Matt. Thank you.
Take care. Jeff Ettinger, Democrat of the day, running Minnesota 1, the special election down there. And if I can tell everyone, if you're listening to me in the Minnesota 1 district, if you know anyone in the Minnesota 1 district, call them and tell them to vote coming up a week from tomorrow. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. All along the Civic Media Radio Network at Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha, 101 FM, The Shaw, and hello, Milwaukee. It is the Matt McNeil Show on your Monday. Hey, this is the case, and I don't care if you're in Wisconsin, I don't care if you're in Minnesota, you got to get out there and we got to vote. The days of you, I am not going to vote. I don't agree with 4% of what that candidate stands for, so I'm going to have a little pity party and stay at home. No. You've seen what that gets us. You've seen where we're at right now. They want to get rid of contraception. They want to get rid of gay marriage. They want to probably revisit interracial marriage. They want to bring back the sodomy laws. So they'll have police officers kick open your private residence door, go up to your bedroom, kick that door in, and arrest you for having an unapproved type of sex with a person that is not approved in their guidebook. You want that, America? I don't think that is America. I think that is some sort of twisted, fake Christian theocracy that they want to install here and force people into it. Nope. By the way, forcing people into doing what they like, that is the Republican mantra, isn't it? Ugh. Ugh. You can't just sit on the sidelines. Every election matters. Every election matters. You got to get out there. Every single one. If you know anyone in the Minnesota First, and like I said, the only reason I'm bringing up the Minnesota First right now is because there is the special election, which comes up here on the 9th, a week from tomorrow. You got to get everyone down there. Make sure they're registered to vote. Make sure they know where they're going to vote. And then make sure on the special election day, which is also the primary day, they're voting. And like I said, the Republican Party in the state of Minnesota, at least, well, and across, I think, a good chunk of the country, is in chaos. There are two absolute fools down there on the Republican side punching it out. Whether it's the special election or the primary, they're fools. They're fools. Jeff Ettinger is a great candidate down there. And Hormel, who doesn't like? I love the Spam. I always found it ironic. Patrick knows. I love the Spam. I found it ironic that Spam and the Mayo Clinic are in the same district. That seems kind of, both sides of the coin there.
Absolutely. And for those of you in Wisconsin who weren't on the network, I used to be Matt's spam runner when we were having shortages.
There was. If you didn't hear the shows back when we were, there were some crisis modes here. I'd go into the store and there wasn't spam. I accepted it. It was what it was. But Patrick found, where was it, Grand Marais?
Yeah, up on Grand Marais. Bring you a spam. Couple cans home.
He nearly had to go to Canada, and he brought me Spam. You are a good man. You are a good, good man. Speaking of not good men, Wisconsin Republicans. The taxpayers' bill for the GOP-ordered review of the 2020 presidential election continues to climb after a Dane County judge ordered the former state Supreme Court justice leading the review to pay $163,000 in legal fees in an open records case related to the probe. Dane County Circuit Court Judge Frank Remington told on Monday ordered the Office of Special Counsel headed by Michael Gableman to pay liberal watchdog group American Oversight more than $160,000 in attorney fees and other costs. The judge's ruling comes after he found that Gibbleman's violated the state's public record laws by not adequately responding to the organization's request for documents related to the review. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, turkey, a Republican from Rochester, Wisconsin, hired Gableman last summer at a cost of $676,000 following pressure from former Trumper, who continues to make baseless claims, watch by fraud, in the now 20-month-old election. By the way, funny story, there wasn't. Joe Biden won Wisconsin. It is the truth. You just don't like the truth. And you just had your, you had this mental image beforehand that it was going to be 99% of voters are going to agree with me and vote for Trump. We lost. We lost. And instead of looking in the mirror and saying to yourself, maybe I wasn't right, you instead go, oh, there's mystery fraud. Oh, Bigfoot snuck in with the aliens and he stashed the ballot boxes. Give me my pillow guy. No, that's you guys are wacky crazy. You are like a bunch of people on bath salts. You are nutsoid, but you're also ruining democracy. So stop it. Anyway, no fraud, but $676,000 later. I could have told you that, by the way. A tax dollar friendly Democrat, a guy that's not going to waste your tax dollars. I could have saved you $676,000 by just saying, "Hey, there's no fraud," and so we're done. The 20-month-old election still contested legal fees, including the $450 an hour rate charged by attorney James Bopp to represent Gableman in the case before Republicans, and other court expenses have pushed the price tag more than $1.1 million. All of you taxpayers, that's right. You know how those guys are out there saying, tax and spend liberals, tax and spend liberals, pew, pew, pew. Yeah, that's, yeah. Funny story. It's the Republicans that are wasting all your taxpayer dollars. It is. Funny story. The more you know, rainbow emoji. Remington's ruling comes days after a similar order in a separate case by Dane County Judge Valerie Bailey Wren that the assembly must pay $100,000 to cover court fees after finding Voss in contempt for violating the state's public records law. The judge then said last week the review had found absolutely no evidence of election fraud. Zero. Hey, you keep voting for him, guys, over there. A recount, court decisions, and multiple reviews have affirmed that President Joe Biden defeated former Trump, former President Dingleberry there, by about 21,000 votes in the state's 2020 presidential election. Only 24 people out of nearly 3.3 million who cast ballots have been charged with election fraud in Wisconsin. Gableman testified in June that he spent most of July and August last year getting familiar with Wisconsin elections at a public library because he did not own a personal computer. Did he use the Dewey Decimal System? Is he flipping through cards? Is it like All the President's Men when they're just kind of going through all the cards? Is that what it is? Gableman also used his personal Yahoo email account during the first 2 months of the review before he received an official state email address. Gableman said he had to staff or delete the personal account sometime last August after he realized, I don't want people to see that. I mean, was after the records request was filed. Cannot be the saying they can't be recovered. Oh, I bet you they can be recovered. It just takes a judge ordering the recovery of them. Remind you, all these Republicans, remember when they were just like, Hillary's emails, Hillary's emails, Hillary's emails. And now it's like, can't delete fast enough. Delete, delete, delete. Or I mean, he's at the library. Has he just got an eraser? Is that what Gableman's doing? Is he pulling books off the shelf and frantically trying to erase the pages? Sir, that's first a Dr. Seuss book, and second of all, the eraser's not going to take out the permanent ink. I'm just going to let you know. You need to leave the library now, sir. Absolutely. All right. Hey, Wisconsin listeners, thank the Republicans for wasting your taxpayer dollars. That's all on them. Nice to have you with us there in Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point. Of course, as always, big smooch to you in Madison. Hello. Lots of tongue, too. Waukesha, Milwaukee. All you guys, enjoy Devil Radio. That's coming up next. Minneapolis, St. Paul, Hour 2 is up next. Hour 2 of the show. Howdy, hi. The Matt McNeil Show on your Monday on AM 950. Good to be with you, Minneapolis, St. Paul. It is wild, man. This show is, we're all across Wisconsin now. Oh, and the best part is there are areas where they haven't had progressive radio or liberal talk show hosts in decades. And we're there. And we like replaced their sports programming. You are not going to be happy. Packers? No Packers. No. Oh, it's funny, man. We're up to these stations. We're going to have more. It sounds like we're going to have more stations later this month. It is. It's a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon. Something like a phenomenon. It's good to be with you guys there, though, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I love doing the 4 o'clock hour here still. That's for sure. 952-946-6205. Did you get outside and do anything this weekend at all there, Patrick?
No, I was busy all weekend.
That's right. You worked all weekend, right?
Yep.
All the shows we had, the full live lineup all the weekend, right?
Yep, full live lineup. And, of course, now that I am not here tomorrow, it's going to be 95 degrees.
Well, you have air conditioning, right?
Yeah.
Well, we have all these lakes. I don't know if you have heard about this. Lakes, big piles of water. They're great. They go out there. Bryant, we're right by Bryant Lake. That's a great lake to go swimming in, man. I love swimming in Bryant. I went over. I got to hang out with some friends this weekend. Got to run around. Got to take care of some things. I got a lot of things. It's been a real stressful. I haven't talked about it. I'm not going to talk about it, but I've had some real stressful months here. And I'm kind of glad I'm kind of getting down. I'm taking a vacation. I mentioned this at the beginning of last hour. I'm taking a vacation starting on Wednesday. And this was long planned. And just if you're like me, if you've got kids who are – you know, I got a college age son, and I've got two girls who are in high school. You got finite windows with sports tryouts and all these things that you got to get the kids into where they have to be and blah 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 blah. So you have a very short window. So I'd set this time up. Gosh, what, 5 months ago I was going to take this vacation, and then of course, oh yeah, there's a primary. Oh, okay, yeah. But don't worry, Todd Mickelson and Brett are going to be, and Patrick are going to be filling in. I'm very excited about that.
We're excited for you to be able to take some time off and relax.
I'm going to, you know that those lakes I was mentioning earlier, the big piles of water?
Mm-hmm.
Delightful. Delightful. I was talking, after we talked to Driesline last week, man, I'm thinking about going dropping a line in, man, going up, maybe hitting some of the walleye lakes. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, sounds like, I think he was saying it was Lake of the Woods.
Lake of the Woods, Leech. Leech is such a great lake for fishing. It's such a great lake for fishing. And, you know, there are those areas there that are just designed for, they're walleye central, so you got to get up there. But, if it gets 95 here, it'll probably be about 80 up there. Start in the morning with a thermos of coffee. Make sure you pack some lunches and some cold drinks. Not much better. I have been, on a completely unrelated note, I have been fascinated with what two people have told me have happened over at Manny's Restaurant. You know the steak place downtown here, right?
Yep.
I've been fascinated by this because this is – I think it's a little over the top, just a smidge over the top. Apparently, when you pick up your car from the valet over there, the valet's calmed tone when you pick up that vehicle is something to the effect of, oh my God, oh my God, don't stop for anything. Don't stop for a red light. Don't stop for an ambulance. Don't stop for a cop. If a child gets in your way, run them over. Oh my God, get out of the city as fast as possible. Ah, ah. Something like that. I mean, it calmed, relaxed, you know. Jesus. Yeah. Ah. Oh, here's your foil swan. There you go. There you go. Have a nice time. Here's your leftovers, sir. Wow. Okay. If you don't like the city that much, there are plenty of places for you to go. This is the thing about this is the, you know, when I hear these people like, ah, the city's chaos. Why are you living here? It's more expensive in the city. First of all, you'll probably sell your house real quick because a lot of people want to move here because a lot of people like it here. As much as you sit there and barely ache about, it's so horrible. The city is great. I mean, people want to move here. Houses sell pretty quick now. I mean, this is a little bit slower now that the interest rates have gone up, but still. I had a friend whose house sold in 4 days the other day. I'm just talking to him. I was like, wow. Not much of a slowdown in certain areas. But come on. I mean, seriously, I want to say, come on, man. If it's that you're working there, if this is that dangerous, why are you working there? If you honestly think that this is that bad, why are you there? I don't know. I don't know. There's these two mentalities that you hear. It's a tale of two cities when it comes to Minneapolis. On one side of it, it's like myself. Hey, last night we decided to go down and catch the sunset down off the Stone Arch Bridge, which we did. It was just gorgeous downtown. It was beautiful. We got some ice cream with the kids. We walked the Stone Arch Bridge, had a great time. Versus, I mean, it's like, God, man, if you hate it so much, go. Seriously, off you go. Bye-bye. If you don't like it, I'm going to go. I just, you know, you don't have to be here. And trust me, you can go move out to, okay, you're a Vikings fan or you're a Twins fan or you're a T-Wolves fan. Fine. Move out to maybe Waconia or maybe move out to Worthington or something like that. You won't ever have to go on a regular basis into Minneapolis-St. Paul. You'll still be able to follow your teams fairly religiously in those markets. Come on, off you go. I mean, if all you're doing is sitting out in the tertiary suburbs anywhere and just going to chain restaurants, what's the big drop-off? You're going to end up saving a ton of money being out there. If it's so bad, then go. What's that? You're not? You're just sitting complaining about it? So is it just, are you making it up to try to sell politics, or are you just a fool? What is it? Are you just making a political argument, or are you just a fool? I realized when I was about 30, 20-some years ago, I realized I can live anywhere I want to. I want to live in Minneapolis-St. Paul. And yeah, I've shed some tears in this town. Shed some tears. But you'll be damned if I'm leaving it. Maybe when I'm older and it gets cold and I'm an old man now. I'm going someplace tropical. Whee! Maybe. I can go outside in January. But right now, I'm not doing that. I love this town. This town kicks ass. It is amazing. And sure, there are problems. But anyone who's sitting complaining about Minneapolis, you haven't been to other cities, man. This city doesn't really have that much of a problem. And I'm not saying there isn't crime, and I'm not saying that there isn't problems. I'm not saying that. But this deathscape apocalypse, run for your life! Shut up! I almost want to go down there and have dinner just so I can say, what the hell's wrong with you? What in the hell is wrong with you people? You don't like the city. Save yourself time. Save yourself money. Save yourself the sanity and leave. And if you're not, if that's not an option for you, then what is your problem? Oh, are you just pushing political narrative? Or are you a fool? It's one of the two. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Damn right I'm standing up for my city. Damn right I love my city. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing how many people live here that just, you know, are sycophants, just absolute sycophants. Let me give you an update on the story a lot of people were following this weekend. One of the five people stabbed by a knife-wielding man on the Apple River in Somerset, Wisconsin on Saturday has been identified as Riley Madison, a 24-year-old from Burnsville. She was with a group of people tubing on the popular river when a 52-year-old Prior Lake man began stabbing people, including a 17-year-old boy from Stillwater who died. Madison and three others were taken to Regents Hospital in St. Paul, where she remains in recovery on Monday. The identities of the others have not been released, although authorities said Sunday that all four survivors were in stable condition. Madison wrote on Facebook that a few friends and her were stabbed by a random elderly man, elaborating further about the attack on her GoFundMe campaign. Some friends and I were tubing when we came across a group who were asking for our help. My friends and I went over to see what was going on, and there was an older man there being inappropriate and was asked to leave but wouldn't. The older man ended up having a knife and stabbed a few friends of mine, and myself included, she wrote. Asked if she knows why the man stabbed her, she replied, I do not. Why are you bringing a knife to a water tubing on a river? What is wrong with you? I don't know. It's not clear. Let me read the rest of the story here. Madison launched a GoFundMe with hopes of lessening the financial burden she faces after recently losing her job and now being unable to work while she recovers from her injuries. The 17-year-old boy who was killed in the attack has been identified by Care 11, citing the boy's family as Isaac Schumann of Stillwater, Minnesota. So sad. The three other survivors are men aged 20, 22 from Luck, Wisconsin, and a 22-year-old from Elk River. Deputies arrived at the scene, located about 100 to 200 yards from the Apple River Bridge in Somerset, just about 3:45 on Saturday. Once there, they witnessed bystanders and tubers helping provide medical aid to the victims. At this time, we're not sure what started this incident, said Sheriff Scott Knutson on Saturday. It's all believed that everybody was tubing, though. More information about what prompted the attack could be revealed once the criminal charges are filed. At least I haven't seen anything new on that, on what it is. Has there any, outside of what she described, do you see anything else that's come out on that?
Yes, he has been formally charged and identified. His name is Nicolay Mew. As you said, he is a 52-year-old man from Prior Lake. Mm-hmm. He has been charged with one count of first-degree intentional homicide of Isaac Schumann and four counts of first-degree intentional attempted homicide of those four other people.
Mm. If anyone has video, apparently it's because some people had taken photos of the individual the implication is as the attack was going on, that they were then able to identify the guy as he got out of the river. And he was arrested there.
And it does sound like there is at least a partial video. I don't know if it was recorded by the people involved or if there was a camera in the area, but there is some footage of it that was disclosed in the article on Bring Me the News as well.
From the eyewitness account of saying she has no idea what this guy did this, I'm going to lead to believe that this was either some sort of mental episode or this guy was just really, really drunk. And I've had multiple people say to me, it's like, man, you go out there and the drunk fools floating down the river are out there. And, you know, it's not sure what this guy was. Why do you bring a knife to water tubing? Why? Why are you doing that? Nick, and how do you say his last name?
I believe it's Mew, M-I-U.
Nick Mew appeared in a video connection one day in the St. Croix County Circuit Court in Hudson for the 20-minute hearing, which was ordered in lieu of $1 million bail. Should Mew be able to post bail, he'd have to maintain absolute sobriety, which might lead to the liquor being a possibility here, possess no weapons, Judge Michael Waterman said. Mew, handcuffed at the wrist and in an orange prison garb, sat quietly in the room in the jail under the watch of sheriff deputies during his first appearance. Waterman told Mew he can apply for court-appointed attorney or retain counsel of his choice. The judge scheduled a hearing for Friday to discuss legal representation to be followed by another hearing on August 12th. There are stories that are circulating that his Facebook page, and it does look legit to a point, is covered in pro-gun propaganda. And I'm not saying that had anything to do with it. I'm just saying it looks like this guy's Facebook page was covered in pro-gun propaganda. It was interesting. I pulled up the Facebook page of the guy that Nick Mew. It's listed under N-I-C-K Mew M-I-U. And when I pulled it up and I scrolled through it, I mean, it's interesting. Back in the beginning of the pandemic, he was like, you know, stay home, support the nurses and doctors and stuff like this. So I'm guessing this is – if it's alcohol. Oh, I just – you murdered a 17-year-old kid. A kid who's out – the only thing they're doing is going water tubing, man. They're tubing down the Apple River and he's dead. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm sure we'll find out more here. And I'm going to guess it sounds like there is one group that initially confronted this guy and then a second group came in, and it's not clear, but it sounds like there might be victims from both groups from this knife attack. Apparently they haven't found the knife. That's another thing too, is that the knife has disappeared, and their feeling is that somewhere in the river or the surrounding river, because he didn't have it when they arrested him at the exit point. He didn't have it then, and so the only place it could have been is somewhere either in the river or it's in the banks of the river. But I imagine that they're full search now out for that. There's more on this to come. Obviously, I got a 17-year-old kid. I don't have the words outside of I'm so, so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. And to everyone else who was injured in this, all my best. And I'll try to get, I'll post this story, which I think has a link to this woman's, page. If I find other GoFundMe pages for these victims, I'll make sure I put them out there as well. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. How about a little bit of good news? Guy Reffitt, you know this clown? This is one of the guys from January 6th. He was the guy, he was able to get a handgun into the Capitol. He is caught on video talking about wanting to kidnap Nancy Pelosi, drag her down the stairs so he had hit her head on every step. He also was the guy that was his own son testified against him, that the son had said that he had threatened to kill the family, I guess. I might be wrong on that. I'll check that. But he definitely threatened the family if they blabbed about his involvement. Well, he's been sentenced. Let's see here. Let me find the next thing. After being found guilty, Reffitt pleaded with the judge, promising that he understood. He blanked up. This is your courtroom talker here. It's just like Shakespeare. It's like Shakespeare has come to life. A blanked up, he said, calling himself a blanking idiot. And he went on to tell a judge that he swears he is done with all militia groups and other such blank. Is that Thoreau I hear? Hello. Ralph Waldo Emerson, I see, is here. Wow, how lovely. Hemingway. I was not thinking clearly, he told the judge before he apologized to U.S. Capitol officers and judge and the Congress. The judge didn't buy it. He gave him 87 months. the longest of any sentence so far, the January 6 cases. You're going to jail. You're a traitorous bastard. You're going to jail. Ha, 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 ha. 7 years, dude. Bon voyage. I gotta tell you the truth. If I'm one of these clown cars that sits there and says, "Oh, I'm gonna take it to court and I'm gonna fight in this," and I see this ruling, I'm like, "You remember that plea deal you put on the table a little bit ago? I'll take the 1 year. Is that possible to get that back?" Oh, I mean, I'm sure that they'll all be, maybe not on their. I don't even. What social media pages are they on? Parler's gone. What's the one that the Trump one? I don't know.
Truth Social.
They'll probably go up in their Truth Social accounts and scream about, "This is an injustice and this is a crime and blah, 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 blah." But then all of a sudden they'll be like, "Hey, federal prosecutors, hey, you know, you remember when I told you to go blank yourselves over that offer you put on the table? You know, I was drunk. I was drunk, and I would really love to see that offer again. Is that possible to bring that offer back up here? I might just sign it right here. As a matter of fact, I don't need a pen. I can just open up a finger here, and I'll just put an X there because basically that's all I can do anyway." Burn, burn, burn. That's what I got to say. Traitors to America. And we cannot forget that. Traitors to America. They tried to overthrow democracy itself. They tried to overthrow democracy itself. I was just talking to someone about this weekend. I said, you know, you can't argue that this was somehow just two teenage kids having a little bit of a fist fight in the backyard, for goodness sakes. They were so upset at the reality that Donald Trump was not the most popular candidate that election, that they decided to, well, as opposed to just say we lost, we're going to try to overthrow the democracy of this country. Oh, and I couldn't wait for them to, you know, "Hey, I know the last election we basically installed a guy. I know. But this election, you can trust us." I mean, these guys don't have a brain in their noggin. I watched a fantastic Daily Show bit where the guy goes on out and talks to these guys that want to secede from Oregon. They want their counties to secede from Oregon and Washington and join Idaho. And the guy from Oregon is basically not the guy that wants to secede, but like the state official that's talking to them. He makes the point, is like, do they realize they're going to owe us billions and billions of dollars for the state land that they would inherit, that we're not just going to give that to them as a birthday gift for taking those counties, that they have to pay us for the state land and facilities that they're taking over? And so he went and talked to the guys of Idaho, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, sure, we'd love to have these counties join us." Well, would you be willing to pay, you know, $100 billion, what it is, just for the Oregon's state lands? And they're like, "Oh, no, I don't want that." They don't even think this through. They don't even think this stuff through. And yet, here they are. They're lock them all up. Lock them all up. They're traitors to America. This is an attempted coup, the attempted overthrow. And just because they were the dim-witted foot soldiers doesn't mean that they deserve a pass. If anything, the fact that they brought guns in, they were threatened to kill people, the fact that they beat police officers, well, lock them up. 7 years. Stew on that one, brain trust. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. Ooh, I found out some information about a Senate candidate in the state of Minnesota. I'll tell you about it when I come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Can the Twins just not give up 6 or 7 runs in the ninth? is it possible to have any lead with this team? Was that team? Was it Saturday night? We were up 7-1 in the ninth inning. 7-1. And Duffy's on the mound. And I could have pitched that. Man, all you have to do is just get them to hit into grounders, man. And they're done. And they're done. They're quit. They're waiting to quit. They're down 6 runs. It's ninth inning. And he's serving up meatball after meatball.
You know, it's funny, and I'm not going to get into too much baseball theory, but I heard it discussed that the fact that the Padres hit that home run was kind of a, you know, it's a clean break. Now I can lock in, get the next two guys, and, you know, feel better about things.
Trying to keep, yeah, that's, how many limbs do I want to lose here? All right, I'm still standing if I got one leg, right? There you go. God, I don't know. I mean, I would say this. Well, if we could trade someone Miguel Sano for a closer, that'd be a heck of a deal. I'd be all for that.
Wait, he's now injured.
Oh, man. God, it hurts. Yeah, that. Yeah, who could see that coming back? Oh, boy, here he comes. Miguel train coming back. Okay, he's back on the injured list.
Yeah, the other bad news is Alex Kirilloff is dealing with another wrist issue, and he was one of the guys who had been linked to if the Twins were going to make a move, but now his wrist is bad again, so it looks like that's off the table.
Garlic let that ball bounce off his glove, dang. Yesterday. Oh, being a Twins fan is hard. All right. 952-946-6211. Detroit's in town, right? Are we still supposed to beat Detroit at this point?
We beat them twice last weekend, but that was last
weekend. Yeah, so. The way things are going right now, you better have a 14-0 lead going into the ninth or else it could be trouble. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So I are you driving around? If you're starting to see the political signs coming out in force right now. One of the things that's always funny is when I was a kid, it was pretty easy to tell who was who. Blue signs, Democrats, red signs, Republicans. It really was. Now, because Republicans are so terrified of letting people know that they're Republican, and they are. And this is actually, I've read the Republican internal analysis on political signs. Their goal is to say, do not highlight the fact that you're a Republican unless you're in a no-brainer, it's always going to go Republican district. That you should hide your, have a blue sign to make sure you look like a Democrat or a green sign or a purple sign. Don't have anything that looks red. Don't identify you're a Republican. That's kind of what they do. So there is always these questions about who exactly is running. And what's the background of them? Because you might see a sign and it doesn't say which political party is there. It just says, you know, for a great change. Great change. And you realize it's, you know, Beelzebub and Seventh Circle of Hell. Hey, Dante. Anyway, off we go. Suburban voters. You got to pay attention. You got to pay attention because sometimes they're trying to sneak candidates in here. And this is from the fantastic Blue Stem Prairie. And if you are not following Blue Stem Prairie, you are wrong. It is a great news source. Sally Joe out there does such a great job. She has a lot of South Dakota coverage, too, but she covers Minnesota very well. Suburban voters reading the March 10th article in the Sun Sailor, which, considering most of us might not have had the Sun Sailor from that area, might have missed Kathleen Folk. Folke? She announced a run for the Senate District 45. Visiting her campaign website biography, well, you'd get the impression that Folk, the endorsed Republican Senate candidate, was nothing less than a person from a hard scrabble background who rose to a comfortable suburban life through an entrepreneurial spirit. Yeah, that's what you think. But read Carly Weinerman's campaign finance analysis from the Energy and Policy Institute, Utility Executive Contribution Surge in Minnesota State Senate Race, and a much different picture starts to emerge from that article. Out-of-state utility interests with a history of obstructing climate and clean energy legislation joined with Xcel Energy executives to pump tens of thousands of dollars into a Minnesota State Senate race on behalf of the first-time Republican candidate Kathleen Folk, the wife of former Xcel chairman and CEO Ben Folk. Uh-oh. I just pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever. Oh, wow. Of the $87,760 in individual and lobbyist contribution that Folk has raised since announcing her run for Senate District 45 earlier this year, $63,100 came from donors with ties to the utility industry, most of whom live and work outside of Minnesota, according to the Energy Policy Institute analysis of a campaign finance report made public last week. Only 27 of the 120 itemized individual and lobbyist contributions appear unrelated to the utility or energy industries. Only 27. 42 utility-affiliated donors gave $1,000 apiece, a state-mandated maximum. Okay. Factoring in a $100,000 loan she made to her campaign, you know, just had that lying around the old kitchen table, I guess. And other contributions, Folk, a realtor, okay, has $135,747 on hand, the most money banked of any Minnesota Senate candidate in the high-stakes election year when every state-level seat is up for grabs. The candidate with the second most cash on hand is Folk's opponent, DFL candidate Kelly Morrison. She has $115,838. Morrison, a physician, has served two terms in the Minnesota House, and she's a member of the House Climate Action Cause and has led the environmental policy. And by the way, one of my favorite DFLers, Kelly Morrison's fan-freaking-tastic. She really is. So, kind of a no-brainer here. District 45 Senate seat is open after redistricting shuffled the field and considered a swing district that candidates from both parties have shot and winning. Well, I don't know about you, because I got to tell you, I'm controlled by the energy industry. You know, that might work out in far right red districts, but have you seen 45? I don't know if you've seen 45 lately, because I pulled up that district. I was looking at that, and it's a lot of it is, yeah, definitely not just wealthy people around Lake Minnetonka. My goodness, it is just a delightful day. Money, 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 money. No, there's not a lot of there. As a matter of fact, it's got a good chunk of northern Minnetonka. You know, it's got a good chunk. It goes all the way over to St. Louis Park's border, so it's 169. And you've got all that area there, 394. And, yeah, I know that you do got a lot of money out there, but you got a lot of liberals out there, too. A lot of liberals with money. Oh, she got St. Bonifacius. St. Bonnie's! Hey, who doesn't like St. Bonnie's, man? Got that golf course out there. It's good fun. But, no, there's a lot of wealthy liberals out there. So I don't know if, and it's one of those things where when you have liberals who have money, one of their big causes is environmentally clean. And you're on Lake Minnetonka. You know, people concern themselves with the quality of water, quality of air. And if you're going to have someone who's going to be basically in the pocket of anti-climate change legislation, well, I don't know how that's going to work out there. Once again, it's a district that I don't think is necessarily – I know Republicans are drooling over it, but yeah, now the cat's out of the bag. This is the energy exec. You're basically – it sounds like you're voting for XL Energy. It's Kelly Morrison or XL Energy. Your choice. And considering we got screwed because Texas couldn't control their damn energy costs, I don't know if I necessarily want to trust a power company with my politics. I just don't think that's a good idea. Folks, campaign finance reads like a who's who in executives from the utility giants. The biggest benefactors include XL Energy, whose executives and their spouses, along with utilities lobbyists, have all given a combined $24,500. XL is tailed by Next Era Energy, a Florida-based energy company, whose executives have filed $17,350 into Fox coffers. Next Era is based in Florida, but has developed wing projects in Minnesota. It also has a reputation for interfering in state politics to sink consumer-friendly clean energy policy, leading to a series of recent scandals. Last week, reporters revealed Next Era subsidy Florida Power and Light secretly took control of a Florida news site to promote the company's narrative. They gave folk $1,000, personally instructed the others to target a prominent state senator and FPL critic pushing for increased access to rooftop solar. I want to make his life living hell, seriously, wrote in an email made public last week. And they're backing her. In perhaps an even more brazen attempt to interfere with state politics, FPL executives, including Syllogy, were closely connected to a state election scandal that involved recruiting and funding sham candidates to siphon votes away from incumbent Democrats who fought the utility's efforts to dismantle rooftop solar policy. Syllogy personally communicated with consultants leading to the effort. It appears they have personally directed money to the dark money groups funding this scheme. By the way, Patrick, can you do me a favor? Can you pull up Senate District 45? Is there a third-party candidate in that race that's running against those two?
I'll just need a minute to get that.
You see, anyone pot candidate, anyone like that, let us know about that. Because I'm starting to wonder. Wow. Also appearing on the Fox donor list were executives from a number of other utility giants, American Electric Power, Alliant Energy, Ameren, Dominion Energy, DTE Energy, Edison International, and more. All of those corporations are influential in state politics where they operate and have significant fossil fuel portfolios, assets that can be sought and protect to invest in despite mounting calls from scientists, policymakers, and public to increase investments in renewable energy. Through Folks Campaign platform includes some general language about clean energy issues, including calls to be energy independent and for a cleaner future. It is short on specifics, but Falk has made it clear to her ties to Xcel, which is routinely among Minnesota's biggest lobbying forces and reliable donor to the Minnesota Republicans who block clean energy and climate legislation. But all but $500 of folks lobbyists, $3,500 in lobbyist contributions came from registered Xcel or NSP lobbyists, while her $750 in itemized political action committee funds came from two groups of what they relatively chump changed that totals the $1,250. $500 was donated by Dorsey & Whitney lobbyist Michael Ahem. Xcel Energy and Dorsey & Whitney client, according to it's all just combined, isn't it? Just a big freaking spider web. According to client achievement statements, of the $750 in PAC money in the report, $500 came from the Dorsey Political Fund. He's Ahem is the chair of that fund. Wow. Back in 2015, we listened to former state representative Denny McNamara brag about how he was totally independent of any PAC lobbyist or whatever contributors. He made fun of anyone who might say otherwise. And Minnesota campaign finance law doesn't measure industry or business concentration of individual contributions. But the Center for Responsive Politics does look at this factor. Bluestem discovered, as we put together the post, the Center at the Responsible Politics and McNamara campaign finance tables is sort of a lonerhood is the sort of thing that the respected Center for Responsive Politics, which focuses mostly on federal campaign finance and public disclosure issues, describes on one item. They basically go into talking about tracking money into PACs and stuff like that. Anyway, it sure as heck does seem there's the energy and policy institute. In addition to utility executives' gifts, Fox logged more than a dozen contributions from staff at Edison Electric Institute. The Trade Association for Investor-Owned Utilities, EEI, has led anti-clean energy, anti-consumer campaigns on behalf of its utility members. Folks campaign paid $1,235 to hold a fundraiser at the Ritz-Carlton Grand Lakes in Orlando. Ooh, that sounds nice. While EEI held a meeting in its members' utilities at another hotel in the same complex, the two-minute walk away, Folk posted a photo with attendees wearing EEI conference badges. Not even trying to hide it, are you? Well, yeah, I guess you are to a point. You're kind of trying to hide it to a point, trying to hide your connections to the energy industry and their anti-climate change agenda. But, man, you are – that is digging deep into the gravy trough there.
Just to answer that question you had a moment ago, indeed, it is only Folk and Morrison in 45.
Is there another surprise candidate possibly thinking about it down there? We have to see, find out. It's clear. I mean, it's clear. I mean, if you want to fix the planet, the choice in 45 is a very clear one. It's very clear. Morrison, that's it. And you might as well put a price tag on Folk. And once again, it's F-O-W-K-E. F-O-W-K-E is her name. I'm not a big fan of such blatant control by an industry over a candidate, period. I've never been a big fan of it on the Democratic side for sure, and I sure as heck don't like it on the Republican side, especially when it's clear what the agenda here is to put someone in that district who's going to fight every clean energy initiative they possibly can. That's not going to help our country. That's not going to help our state. And sure as heck not going to help the voters of 45. So, I mean, the more you educate yourself, the more you find out the truth. And the reality is I think we're clearly at the point where if we don't have politicians who are on board with climate change, they all need to be removed from office and get people in there that understand we have to fix this planet or else we're all going to die. And that is simply the truth. That in a few hundred years, people are going to be getting wiped out in mass droves because the planet's quite literally inhospitable. And all these people will be laughing in their climate control bunkers up on Baffin Island in the northern part of Canada as they sit there and say, all those dupes all those years ago, we could basically buy them to kill themselves as they try to live their lives. I'm not a big fan of that stuff. I'm not a big fan of that. But there seems to be a whole lot of money going into folks' campaign from the energy industry, from the people that want to stop clean energy and stop, you know, and the people that want to address climate change and fix it. The people that want to stop people from fixing climate change. There you go. That's the people that seem to be supporting Fox. So 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. I'll post that story a little bit later on. Pass it to everyone you know in 45 so they can see the real truth there. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Well, and then there's that great story that was in the Reformer this weekend about the craziness that is the Shakopee house race right now on the Republican side. You got Eric Mortensen, who doxed a colleague and was the subject of an HR complaint on his first day in office, going against Bob Lunin, who's got his own problems with campaign. It's campaign violations, I think, of some sort there. Mortensen and Lunin may have a few policy differences, but Republicans couldn't be more different in style and approach to politics. Lunin owned an insurance agency in Shakopee's Main Street for decades. Mortensen is a pugilist who wants to burn it all down while live tweeting it. And by the way, that is a phenomenal, phenomenal description of your standard Trump Republican today. The MAGA Republican, a pugilist who wants to burn everything down while live tweeting it. That is what they think their job is. They'll bat on the GOP primary for the third time on August 9th, the first faced off in 2008 when Mortensen beat Lunin out of the Republican primary after the latter was arrested, although not convicted of drunk driving. Mortensen had his own DUI arrest back in 2001, but that was dismissed as he was convicted of careless driving. The difference, Mortensen's DWI didn't happen 1 month before the election, and he went on to beat Lunin in the 2018 primary. He lost to former Shakopee Mayor Brad Tabke in the 2018 blue wave that put the Democrats in the House majority. 2 years later, Mortensen beat Lunin in the primary again, and Mortensen went on to narrowly defeat Tabke with the help of a pop party spoiler, which I believe, didn't we actually find out that person actually did have some communications with then Gazelka? There was some kind of connection there that seemed to be a plant candidate, which, by the way, you're not seeing too many of them now that the Democrats know, and the Democrats have basically said, yeah, we're the pro pot candidate, you know, party. As a matter of fact, they edibles, delicious. The Democrats deliver, the TFL delivers. They basically been going after each other. Now it's round three of Lunin versus Mortensen. Lunin basically is trying to come back in. Mortensen has been an embarrassment. I mean, he's not even part of the Republican Party anymore. He's so extreme. The animosity between the two rivals is more over the top, incredible with the addition. In recent weeks, the Scott County Republican Party tapped itself in as it has before. In 2020, Lunin accused party officials of helping Mortensen by moving an endorsed convention at the last minute without informing the delegates. Ugh. This time, the party filed a complaint against the state saying Lunin's campaign literature violated state law by falsely claiming their endorsement. The party chair, Dale Even, donated $3,300 to Mortensen campaign from 2018 through 2021. So basically, you have a Republican Party down there that seems to definitively be playing favorites. And I'm not saying Lunin didn't make a mistake, but still at the same time, it's clearly the Republican Party down there wants Mortensen. He's got his fans there. Even is also the project manager for the Southwest Light Rail and Green Line Extension, which is 4 years behind schedule and hundreds of millions of dollars over budget. Mortensen was the only House member to vote no on the bill to audit the project. Lunin says the campaign flyer in question appears to be from his 2016 campaign, which is endorsed by the county party. During a July 18th evidentiary hearing, the county party called as a one witness Eric Mortensen to testify about the campaign flyer polluting the political landscape in Shakopee. Mortensen said he found the flyer but couldn't recall where he found it. Mortensen put out a press release saying Lunin was fined $10,000 suspended from teaching continued education classes for insurance agents for 3 months. Court documents show he provided false information regarding credit hours on applications agreed to stop in 2014. Lunin got into trouble again in 2019 when an undercover Commerce Department investigator went to one of his classes, during which Lunin spent a lot of time talking about things other than the subject of instruction, ethics. Lunin told her for me he basically got into trouble because he felt I tell too many stories. In November, Lunin was suspended for teaching classes for 6 months and ordered to pay $10,000 for the 2019 fine. Mortensen is Mortensen. I call him skin tag for a reason. He generated the HR complaint the first day when he said Speaker Melissa Hortman and House Aid, which he laughed and bragged about during the broadcast. He went on to dox a colleague, raise money off of dubious claims he'd been banned by Delta Airlines for refusing to wear a mask. In the process, he became the darling of right-wing anti-vax, anti-mask, stop-the-steal, in-your-face Action for Liberty group, challenging weak and feckless establishment Republicans. So this is where you're at. Shakopee, I can tell you right now, you deserve a lot better than these two clowns. Vote Brad Tabke. He's really good, and he's not those two. And really, at the end of the day, at this point, that's the only qualification that matters. He's not those two guys. Vote Tabke down in Shakopee. We are back tomorrow. Devil's Radio up next, and of course, Native Roots Radio on the 6th. Until tomorrow, see ya.